I'm Angie Robertson, and you're listening to Spirit-Led Life, Episode 10. On today's episode, well, this episode's going to be a little bit different. We are going to do a little listener Q&A, and I'm going to share a new mini-series we will be doing over the next two episodes. We've got some great questions that will touch on our emotions and mind. What does a spirit-led life look like for me? And what do I use to help me get through tough moments? Let's go to the show. Welcome back to the show. So right now, I'm super tempted to say I'm so excited, but boy, do I say that a lot. I listen to each episode just like you do, and I listen to it multiple times. I listen as I'm recording it, when I edit the episode, and then I listen to the final version once it's released on the podcast platforms. On episode 9 for the February Reflections, I said excited many, many, many times. I guess I can't really help myself. Excited describes the feeling I have deep down. Now, if you have a better word I can use, please, please, please be sure to hit me up on Instagram at Angie W. Robertson. Before we move on to the questions that were submitted, I want to make sure you are following this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. I'd also love it if you would consider leaving a kind review so others can find us. It means so much to me that you share how this podcast is supporting you in growing closer to the Lord and your understanding of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thank you so much. I recently posted on my Instagram stories an opportunity for you to submit any questions you have for me to be answered on an upcoming episode. I held my breath on this because this podcast is fairly new, and we are still growing as a community, so I wasn't sure if I would get any questions. Well, if you follow me on social media, you might have seen a post where I asked God if He would give me at least one tiny piece of encouragement each week, that it would help remind me of the work He and I are doing together and give me a little boost to continue running the race that He has set before me. He has not disappointed at all. Between personal text messages, comments, and ratings on the podcast, as well as conversations I've been having in person, He has delivered. Putting this Q&A out was no exception. I received several questions and I was so, are you ready for it? Excited. Okay, how about I say I was joy-filled? I was full of gratitude to Poppy for answering my request. I was elated that you responded to my request. These questions were thought-provoking, to say the least, and deep, and I certainly needed to lean on the Holy Spirit to answer at least one of them, well, not all of them, if not all of them, which I'll actually save that question to the end. I'm going to keep these questions anonymous, as I promised. And if you're like, Angie, I have questions I would have asked, but I didn't know you wanted some, don't worry. We will do this again in the future, and I will be sure to post this on my Instagram account, and I will send out the request to those who are subscribed to receive my weekly emails. I'm on Instagram at Angie W. Robertson, like I said earlier, and to get on the mailing list to receive notifications of when new episodes drop and behind the scenes I only share in the emails and nowhere else, be sure to visit spiritledlifepodcast.com. And you will see the subscriber form. Fill that out and you'll be added to the list. The first question that was submitted reads, what would be your godly affirmation for tough moments? This is such a great question. All the questions were great questions. I've been in the coaching industry for over 2 decades, whether I was supporting coaches or when I actually became a certified life and career coach myself. And that word affirmation was tossed around and has been and continues to be tossed around for some time. It can conjure up so many misconceptions. I thought before I answer this question, it might be helpful to gain some context on what exactly affirmation means. If we Google the definition, we find the action or process of affirming something or being affirmed. When I look at this term, what this means to me is that an affirmation is confirming something that has already been known. I found this pretty interesting in that we already know and all we're doing is affirming what is there. Now, if you listened to episode 7, Who is the Holy Spirit? You learned He dwells in us and He provides conviction and the truth of God's word. I love this definition of affirmation, as it's just another reminder for me that the Holy Spirit is always guiding us and He is always there directing us. And when we receive an affirmation, it is something that confirms what He has already told us. I have this personal belief that this is one of the reasons why when the Bible says in Psalms 119:11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, it is important to read the scripture and begin to put God's word in our hearts. I'll also give you a hint. In the future, we will do a series on how to hear God. You will begin to discover one of the ways to discern God's voice is asking, does what He has spoken to me line up with His word? When we study His word and know His word, it becomes easier for us to discern His voice. I thought it was important to give you a little context to the word affirmation so we can look at it with a fresh perspective. Given the context of what that term means, I will say there is one verse that is a constant in my life for at least the last 5 years. When Dave was going through his cancer treatment and we just weren't sure if he was going to live or die, I went directly to God about the situation. It is a much longer testimony. I'll share this in a future episode. But God gave me Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. For me, this reminds me that He is in control of everything and He makes all things new. There is a hope when everything seems hopeless. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. These are things I know, and this scripture confirms or affirms that knowing. He has brought me the scripture so many times, it's actually becoming comical at this point because I see it so often. And I actually kind of look up at God and say, okay, I hear you. Now, the next question I received was, Angie, what does a spirit-led life look like for you? Again, like I said, another great question. Well, Holy Spirit interacts with each of us differently. He lives in each of us individually. So while I share my experience, please don't compare mine to yours. I encourage you to seek your own experience of the Holy Spirit. And that's part of the reason we're doing this podcast here, is so that you learn how to have a spirit-led life. Now, with that said, there are some universal truths that apply for all of us as believers. For me, a spirit-led life looks like consulting the Holy Spirit on the big and the small details in my life and acknowledging that He is there all the time. He's with me 24/7. Now, I'm not saying I consult Him on whether or not to go pee, because that's a given and a humanly function that has to be done. What that can mean, for example, is if I'm at work and I'm struggling with a piece of technology and I can't find a solution, I will sit at my desk and I will ask the Holy Spirit to help me. It never fails. A solution will either present itself or the issue will work itself out every single time. It can also mean the big things, like starting this podcast, for example. It is a desire that God has placed in my heart, but I waited for a long time before starting this podcast. It was consulting when the time was right and trusting that the desire I had was from Him. I will say there are times where God will tell us something or deposits something in our hearts and tells us the thing to do, and yet we don't do it. And we then go and seek Him for the next steps, and He gives us nothing because we haven't done the very thing He told us to do. Being spirit-led for me is just being with God, acknowledging His presence in my life all day, every day, and resting in His promises. It's also having a heavenly mindset in that to God there is no time. Everything works together for His good. Is it easy? Heck no. My mind, will, and emotions beg to differ. This is why it is important to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. He will put out those four alarm fires our mind can kind of ignite. Now, our last question submitted reads, in your spiritual journey, have you learned anything about what God thinks about emotions and our minds? I'll admit, I got this question and thought, who am I to answer this? I am no theologian. I am not a psychologist. I am not a neurologist or I've definitely studied the brain and study the effects of the brain and study, scripture. But this was a deep question. But then I was also reminded that I'm not alone in having to answer this. I can go to the very throne room of God for the answer, which is what I did. If you listen to episode 5, How Are You Created in God's Image? We learn that we are made up of three parts. We also learn that those three parts have three parts. Just a quick recap of what those parts are. For the body, it's speech, the five senses, and action. Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And our spirit is made up of our conscience, fellowship, and intuition. So for this question, we're talking about the mind and emotions, which makes up our soul. I asked God one time about emotions and why did he give them to us because they seem to cause so many problems. He told me that he wanted an equal when he created man. He gave us a mind, will, and emotions. All of those things are good gifts from him because he gives good, perfect gifts. It is when we exercise our free will outside of his will, which is his highest and best for us, by the way, that we can get into trouble. Now, that is what he spoke to me. But of course, let's look at some scripture. In Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, we read in the Message translation, "Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life." I've been doing some studying on emotions and how if we don't allow our emotions to pass through, they can become stored in our body. And this can show up in a multitude of ways, such as inflammation, chronic illness, and even some serious diseases and mental disabilities. It's important to feel the feelings and allow them to pass through and move on, just like the scripture says. Emotions are neither good nor bad. They are emotions. Some feel more pleasurable than others, but they are all emotions. And we can think back to when we were children that some of us may have seen emotions or been taught that emotions were bad. Stop crying. Don't throw that temper tantrum. Stop. Be quiet. Children are seen, not heard. You know, all those things go on and on and on. And so it can cause us to think that emotions are bad. When it comes to our mind and emotions, we can find in Proverbs 14:30, a sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. Okay, well, that's great. That just confirmed what you just said, Angie. Emotions are bad. Well, let's keep diving in. Now, in that verse, we hear at the beginning, a sound mind makes for a robust body. Well, what does that mean? And how do we obtain a sound mind? Let's dive a little deeper. In Romans 12:2, it reads, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Okay, great. We know we need to renew our minds. How do we do that? As we become believers in Christ, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Now, I've taught in past episodes, whenever we see "therefore" in the Bible, we have to go back and see what the "therefore" is there for. So let's go back to verses 14 through 16. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. So because Jesus died for us, and we confess he is our Lord and Savior, we are made new creations in him. So we know that by Christ we are made new. I know you are still wondering, though, how do we renew our minds? Well, we do this by staying in the Word of God. And we can see that the Word of God cleanses us in Ephesians 5, 25 through 36, where Paul is actually talking to husbands about loving their wives as Christ loved the church. We see how he describes Jesus and the church, which we as the body are the church. The verses read, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word." The word of God washes us, And we know that we don't just take one bath in our lifetime. We take baths daily. And for some of us, we might take them more often and others not so much. We are cleansed each time. When we bathe in God's word, we are cleansed, restored, and renewed. God gave us a gift of our mind and emotions, and we can embrace this part of our being. When we tap into our spiritual makeup, it keeps our soul in balance, which therefore keeps our mind and our will and our emotions in balance. Now, I want to thank everybody for submitting your questions. That was fun and challenging for me. I really appreciate it. For this week's Heavenly Position System Challenge, as always, we are taking out our journals and finding a quiet place if possible for at least the next 15 minutes. I want to actually send these questions back to you. What would be your godly affirmation for tough moments? That's always a good thing to have in your pocket because the Bible tells us that we are going to experience challenges as believers in Christ. So why not go ahead now and find those affirmations for yourself? He will give you what you need to encourage you. Also, sit down and answer this question. What does it mean to you to have a spirit-led life? What does that look like for you? And finally, what is God saying to you about your emotions and mind? Go as deep as you want with Him. It's so fun to kind of go down what I call rabbit holes with Him and follow where He leads. I did that with these questions, and it was so much fun. Before we wrap up today, I want to share with you this new series we are going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. As I mentioned earlier, we are made of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. We know our soul is made up of our will, mind, and emotions. In the next couple of episodes, I'm going to interview a couple of guests who will talk about ways we can heal our souls. I know for myself, when I did some soul healing, it helped me to have a greater spiritual connection to my Heavenly Father. If you've ever experienced any type of hurt, abandonment, or emotional trauma in your life, you won't want to miss this series. These next few episodes will reveal some truth to you that can help you grow in greater intimacy with God and make Him more relatable to you. Now, as I close, I will leave you with my favorite verse, but I'm going to expand it and use it in a different translation. It's Isaiah 43:16 through 21 in the Message translation. This is what God says, the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Wild animals will say thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I choose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. And be sure to tune in each week so we can learn together how to have a spirit-led life.